As we move into the scriptures, we're going to continue to hang out a little bit in the Old Testament. I told somebody this morning I've preached more out of Deuteronomy in the last 3 weeks than probably the last 3 years combined or more. Some of you are like, Deuteronomy? It's an Old Testament book. It's one of the first books of the Bible. It's in the table of contents. We'll get there today. But as we do that, I want to remind us where we've been, because maybe you're a guest of ours. Maybe this is your first Sunday worshiping with us, and we're so glad you're here. We at the Vineyard want to be a people of the Spirit and the Word, and we want to be a people who demonstrate and proclaim the good news of God's kingdom breaking in here. As we prayed, let the kingdom of heaven come here and now. And this summer, we're preaching a series called Summer Sabbath. Summer Sabbath. In a world that is fast-paced and hurry and go and more and electricity and social feeds that are always running and charging at us, how do we rhythm with Jesus, the King of Kings? And how do we experience maybe a rest and a posture of obedience to Him, to the things that He spoke that are good for our soul? How do we practice Sabbath? And where we've been is, one, is there is a, it is actually one of the Ten Commandments. One of the original commandments of God to His people is that we would honor and keep the Sabbath. And that's not just about one day a week, it is about every day of the week, because it gives calling to our work the way God created in 6 days. He calls us to be diligent and steward six, but then He says, but look at what I did. I rested, I enjoyed, I celebrated, I delighted, it was good. And you should as well. So Sabbath invites us to stop. Why? Why would we stop when we can just keep going? Well, we should stop because God wants to steward humility in our heart. We are not God. If God is willing to stop and show restraint, maybe we should as well. Sabbath invites us to rest. There are things called holy naps. There are times you should rest. Maybe right now it would be more beneficial for you to take a nap during the sermon than to be exposed to more conversation from another talking head. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. Why would Sabbath invite us to rest? Because God wants to steward trust in our heart. Do y'all know how crazy it is that you sleep? I mean, if you ask people who have ever had to be around me, I mean, sometimes, like, in my sleep, I do bizarre things. When I played college basketball, there were nights I would wake up and I would, like, throw a pass. What is that? I don't know. But when we sleep, think about this for a second. When you sleep, there is a way our bodies have been made and designed, and it's as though you operate in perfect trust because you're like totally unaware of what's happening around you. This is why ADT exists. They capitalize on the fact that when you sleep, you are in full trust mode. You do not know what's happening. Sleep, by its nature, designed to give us rest, there is a real rhythm. If you were to just stop sleeping, you would eventually die. You would go crazy. It would not be good for your soul. It would not be good for your body. Rest is part of God's intent and design from the beginning. Because God wants to steward trust in our heart. We can trust Him with our lives. We can trust Him with the way He's made us and the good creation. This is a whole nother series and a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to go there, but I just want to tell you, like, this is insight into my brain and how I'm trying to work out my faith with Jesus. If you look at the creation account, in the beginning, God created day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. We get to day seven, He rested. No sin has entered the story yet. Rest is not a response to the brokenness. Rest is inherent in the goodness of God. I thought that was good. Some of y'all are like, wait a second. It's in the beauty of His creation. It's in the way He always intended is that we would worship and we would rest so we could trust Him. Today we're going to talk about trust. Now here's what I know to be true. The imperfect, now sinful, fallen world in which we do live will cause us to steward other things in our hearts. It will actually train and disciple you in a particular way of life if you allow it. The way of the world and the events that we just recognized, natural disasters, tragedy, other things that we'll talk about in this sermon today, is this. I realize my heart is prone to steward things like fear and worry, dread, discouragement, suspicion, anxiety. You want me to keep going? Yeah, nobody, like I see one person like, please stop. No, no more. That's enough. Did I mention fear? Anybody aware that like fear can just grip you? It can do work in your heart and your mind and your soul and the way you live your life? Distress, like all these things are coming at us and trying to steward particular things inside of us. Yet the world God created invites us to Sabbath. He invites us to consider Sabbath. And genuinely, I think this is about a journey of following Jesus, where the things we think are best and the way of living we think is right, we will in humility bring it back to God and go, if this is one of your commands, teach me and show me. Help me understand why. Help me yield my life to you. Because if I'm honest, I want to just keep going. I want to keep charging. Because if I stop, I'm not sure I'm going to like what I experience. If I slow down, I'm not sure that that will go well. But if I can just keep moving, if I can just keep going, if I can keep charging, maybe I can hold the world off. All the while, God is looking at you because he loves you, saying, I want to care for your soul. I want what's inside of you to be more informative about the world around you than you feel like you have to hold the world off to protect you. Sabbath is part of God's good story because God desires to steward trust in our hearts. But can we just be real honest? Everything about the human experience will challenge this invitation from God. Everything. Everything about your human experience is going to confront your ability to every week, week in and week out, say, God, I trust you with this. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my work. I trust you with my schedule. I trust you with my capacity to stop and to rest. And as we see, to delight and worship, that's what's coming. It is challenging. It is challenging. And we're going to see that in the scriptures. In the human experience we see in Deuteronomy, the people of God had had a powerful, miraculous encounter with God. God was moving in their midst, and it was so easy for them to begin to not trust God. So easy, because there's something in my human heart, and yes, I'll be judgmental real quick, and in yours, that God wants to address. So let's go to Deuteronomy 8. That feels like enough of a setup. Sabbath is a way of living that anchors us in the trustworthy presence of the living God. It wants to anchor you in the trustworthy presence of God. We're going to be in verse 11, Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 11. And then we're going to go to Deuteronomy 10, and then we'll be in Luke 12. Here we go. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Why do you think that's in there? Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. We are prone to, what did you have for breakfast yesterday? Some of you are like, eggs, only because you have eggs every day. Like, that's the only reason you didn't forget. It's like the same thing every day. No, we are prone to forget. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. God is calling us into his story of goodness and abundance, care and provision. He wants it to go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. I just want to remind us, this work of being obedient to God is the collision of pride and humility in our hearts and in our minds. It is who knows best. It is who calls the shot. It is whose power is at play. It is a work day in, day out of will we humble ourselves to God or will we go, you know what, God? Appreciate the way you took care of me back then, but I'll take it from here. I got it. And the reason Sabbath is powerful is it's a weekly reset that reminds us how we should take care of the next 6 days. So then we get to the day of rest and we reset so that we step into our work and we trust God. And we walk with God and we experience God so that then we can take a day to just take it all in. Go, God, look at what you did for me these last 6 days. Look at how faithful you are, how good you are. Look at where you showed up every single day. I delight in you. I worship you. I praise you. I rest in you. I'm now refreshed. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. Connecting to the God who can do things we cannot do. Pride versus humility. Pride versus humility. Do not forget. Do not forget. I was remembering a story from my younger days. I had a chance to travel to Mexico when I was in elementary school. I was traveling with my dad and I think only my older brother. I would have been pretty young. I don't think my youngest brother was on that trip. And we went to serve a local community with a local church. And I've got a picture of a rock climber. Because I want you to think about this for a second. If we're talking about trust, my question to you is, where do you place your trust? What do you put your trust in? And on this particular day, we had been serving in a local community, doing the equivalent of like a vacation Bible school. We would go to the local market and get Coke in a bottle glass, because that's how it tastes really good. And we were with this wonderful family that hosted us in their home and made delicious food for us. And it was wonderful. And I was an elementary age kid. And we were part of God's adventure in another part of the world. And one day we went out, and there was this huge rock face. And there were two guys rock climbing. Anybody ever been rock climbing before? Good, you survived. That's good. So my dad, being kind of the extrovert that he happens to be, we strike up a conversation with these two guys. Never met them before in our lives. And they're like, what are you doing? We're rock climbing. You want to do it? And we're like, sure. I'm a little dude. They did not have gear for little dudes. They had gear for grown dudes. Meanwhile, did I tell you we've never met them before? They proceed to grab some yellow rope and rig up a harness around me, and then I start rock climbing up the face of this wall. What was my dad thinking? But it's such a picture of trust. Because I have to ask you, where did I put my trust in that day? Spoiler alert, I lived. It's okay. Did I put my trust in my dad? Dad, if you say it's okay, I'll go. I don't know what I'm actually stepping into. I've never tested or verified these guys know how to make climbing knots, let alone a like freestyle harness. Did I put my trust in my dad? Did I put my trust in two strangers I'd never met who live in another country? They seemed professional, by the way. What about the ropes? Where was my actual trust that day? It was in the anchor 50 feet off the ground. The thing that I'm putting my trust in is an anchor, believing it's strong enough to hold me no matter what weight I place on it. That's true of our lives. All of us are putting the weight of our life on some anchor. On some anchor. There is some anchor you have named in your life that is buried in the face of the wall you are trying to climb. And if it gives way, what will you do? Can it give way? Or as we sang today, are you anchoring on the eternal rock of ages that can bear up secure and strong in every storm? See, we must understand that this story we're living is one of trust. And you get to decide where you place your trust. Let's keep reading in Deuteronomy 10. The encouragement of the scriptures read like this: "And now, Israel, the people of God, what does the Lord your God ask of you? What are the anchors in which you will build your life? Fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Do not believe the lie that the good commands and work of God are for anything other than your good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Church, if we keep sticking in this work that God is doing to form people, they were in slavery and there was a way the culture had shaped them, and now he's beginning to proclaim a way of living that would not just orient their exterior world, but it would shape and form their interior world. He's forming them into the people he always intended them to be, which will look different. And today it's the same. Jesus wants to do work in our lives that honor God is the God of gods. There is no God higher. There is no God stronger. There is no anchor better for us. He is the Lord of lords. He has done mighty things in your life if you will remember and not forget. That if we would live with humility so we can fear the Lord and love the Lord and serve him, we would be a people that live different. And you might go, so what in the world does Sabbath have to do with this? It's trust. How do I care for the foreigner among us if I will not trust my life to God? How do I show up for the fatherless and the widow? When I've forgotten. See, trust anchors us in the God who chose us and loves us. And when we're humble, we realize, God, if you'll do that for me, you love and choose everyone. And this is a radical gospel message revealed in Jesus Christ, that he died for the sins of the world because he loves the world. And when it's all put back together under his kingdom rule and reign, it will be every tribe, every tongue, every nation in the glory of his name, because he is awesome and he is redeeming and he is saving. And when I let that capture me, I behold God's love for you. When I let the love of God that's been revealed in Jesus capture me, I behold the world through that love and through that choice and through that sacrifice and through his kingdom way. It should change us. Amen? Just okay. Here's what I mean. I can follow God's commands because I trust his love for me. And I trust if he's calling me to follow him, it's for my good. That's where I start. I start with my calendar. I start with my worship. I start with my boundaries and my work to go, God, I'm giving you all my life. I'm giving you all my life. I give it back to you as worship. I trust you with everything you've given to me. And then I get to look at who God is, and I don't forget, because we have to be careful not to. Be careful not to. Okay, here's why. Hang with me for just a second. This is important for what's going on right now. For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. Cannot be coerced, cannot be, the power that is in him cannot be co-opted. You don't get to do that, I don't get to do that. He is above it all. His kingdom, rule, and reign is over it all. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, providing for them and caring for them. As I was reflecting on this text, I just thought about, why is that in there? What does that mean? And how does that set God apart? And why must we not forget that this is who God is? And one of the things I see in here that matters around Sabbath is that God wants to care where people and powers displace us. Where people and powers displace us in our life, God comes in a way that looks different than how humans violate power and where brokenness and the loss and the tragedy of this world unfold in our real lives. The widow and the fatherless. The widow and the fatherless are under the deep, loving care of God. And I went to look for, like, well, what's the phrase for a parent who's lost a child? Did you know there's, like, not one? It's, like, so tragic. We haven't even, like, figured out how to get there with some label. There is a real tragedy when we lose the gift that is intended for us in family love and connection. Widow, fatherless. Right now, families who have lost children. Like, let's not just read over the scriptures, just like, oh yeah, cool, God. God is saying something so important to us about who is trustworthy, and it's him above all. Because when this life tries to steal and kill and destroy things, because we are in a spiritual battle and there is a kingdom reality that wages right now until it's all perfect heaven, we need a God who steps right into the middle of that and has something to say. We need an anchor in that moment and in that space. Amen? And so we, as followers of Jesus, need to stand with courage and go, let me tell you who God is. Because it's not like, well, God's a God of judgment, and he's going to make, because he loves people to be fatherless. He loves, like, he loves to step in and provide his care. And then he goes further. He says, don't forget, you were a foreigner. Just don't forget it. Do not forget. Because here's who I am. I'm one who's delivering people. I'm one who's saving and rescuing. And you need to love the world the way I do. And I'm going to be real frank. If I'm not protecting time for my soul to receive from God and be cared for by God, then what I'm showing up to the world in great need is I'm showing up empty. I'm showing up distraught. I'm showing up anxious and afraid and full of fear. Sabbath matters because God wants to put me in a rhythm with him that's full of trust so I can be a picture of his glory and goodness right here, right now, because I will say, let your kingdom come. And let me be real clear. I'm moving this away so you can know this is like heart to heart. That's actually why I'm doing this. The fear in me right now is I start to talk about foreigners and you hear me talking about political policy and platform. That's the fear in my soul. In this day and time, when I start talking about God's love for the foreigner among us, some of the room will begin to move to, oh, now you're going political on us, Kurt. That's the fear. I'm literally thinking about this morning, really early, like, oh, no. Who am I going to lose? And then they're going to put me, y'all now know who I voted for. You don't know who I voted for. What I'm pressing on is if my discipleship is to a political party above God's kingdom call, I need to be careful about idolatry. What I'm actually saying to us is, let your eyes behold the living God who's over the heavens and the earth. And in moments of great distress, you can trust he cares for the fatherless. He cares for the grieving parent and grandparent and aunt and uncle. He weeps with us. That's why you can trust him. He feeds us in our poverty. That's why you can trust him. He walks with us in the wilderness. That's why you can trust him. So when he says, come and let me give you rest, you can trust it's for your good. And to just maybe quiet the own fear in my own soul, I'm also going, God knows that there's geopolitical lines. That's why he calls them a foreigner. He knows there's real implications for how humans are going to try to build up power and structures, but it's his kingdom above it all. It's his rule and reign above it all. And I will tell you this, if I'm struggling with my trust of God, Sabbath feels weird and inconsequential. I won't practice Sabbath because I keep feeling like I've got to figure it out and I've got to work at it and I've got to earn it. And what it reveals is what we're actually worried about. In Luke 12, Jesus, I think, helps bring this home for us. Jesus is teaching with his disciples, and because some of you might go, yeah, Kurt, that's Old Testament stuff. Remember when Jesus was asked which is the most important commandment? He didn't talk about Sabbath. Did y'all know that? He took the original 10 and he put it down to 2. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In another part, he reminds us we have to love our enemy too. So there again, the foreigner, if you see them neighbor or enemy, you're not off the hook if you're following Jesus. Was that too harsh? If it was, deal with Jesus. I don't know what to tell you. But you go, hey, Kurt, like, hey, I'm free from Sabbath. You're like, that's actually right. Jesus said this, you were not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for you. He made it for you as a gift and a way of experiencing his presence. Do you want that? Right? So then he's teaching and he's going on. He says, do not worry. Anybody in the room struggle with worry? Pastor and author Craig Groeschel posted a very helpful thing on social media for me personally this week. He said, what you worry most about is what you have the most difficulty trusting God with. And I went, get out of there. Just go. Can you put that quote up for me, Vinny? I want to give it to her. Right before that or after that. There's a quote. Yeah, just keep going. It's after it. I don't know. It's somewhere there. It looks different than the scriptures. So what are you worrying about right now? Just be honest with yourself. Here we go. What you worry about most often reveals where you trust God the least. And I was like, oh, Lord, I know what I worry about the most. I do. What do you worry about the most? See, in a message around trusting God, we have to have the courage to look at our own lives where we're prone to not trust. And usually, where something is insecure, it produces worry. It produces distress. What are you worrying about the most these days? What are you worried about the most? He goes on to frame it this way. He says, is it your finances, your future, your family, a relationship of an emotion you're holding on to? What do you do when you realize you aren't trusting God in that area? Jesus gives us the answer in Luke 12. In Luke 12, Jesus is teaching about worry. Do not worry about this. Do not worry about that. The pagan world thinks about those things. I take care of you because you're mine. And he says, here's the remedy. Seek first the kingdom of God and all this will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and all this will be added to you. And then he adds this most endearing thing. And he says, oh, you little flock. I love that. Jesus is looking at his disciples. He knows it's hard. He knows they're having a hard time. He knows they're not perfect. And he just goes, oh, I love you. I chose you. My Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. And I'm so prone to worry. I am so prone in my humanity to worry. And God is calling me to trust. How good. How good it will be to wake up tomorrow and as a community step more into trust. When I'm aware of my worry, Jesus says, that's pretty normal. It was so normal I put it in my most famous sermon. But let me tell you, let me remind you, when you begin to worry, seek me. Seek the King. Seek my face. Just turn to me. Come to me. If you're worried, come to me. If you're tired, come to me. If you're in need, come to me. Seek first the kingdom of God and then all the things you need will be added unto you. Sabbath stewards trust in our heart because we're realizing it allows us to build the treasure of the King and his kingdom. Every week, we're making a deposit into that account. Every week, we're setting aside time to seek the kingdom. Every day, every moment, we're seeking the kingdom, we're seeking the kingdom, we're seeking the kingdom. And when we gather and we come to the table and we worship and we pray the prayer, let your kingdom come. It is in an honest desire to welcome God into all of life. Let's stand together. What are you worried about? Here's the thing. Scriptures love to encourage us to confess to friends. It's really powerful. It just puts it like takes it from in here where it's probably really big and scary, and it lets it be really big and scary out here. No, I'm just kidding. It actually takes something you were never supposed to carry by yourself, and you name it in God's presence and say, I'd love for you to carry this for me. And then you name it in the presence of a trustworthy friend, and they'll carry with you, and it gets lighter. I'll give you two words if you want any insight into the worry in my soul: future, finances. How far out do I have to look till it all falls apart? That's where my worry lives. What is it for you? God wants to walk with you and come close to you where you need to experience his anchoring love most. The weekly practice of Sabbath lets us grow that experience a little bit at a time. So I'm going to pray for the room. And as I'm praying, I'm going to invite our ministry team to come down. And I just think there's two real simple calls today. We will pray for anything and everything. If you're sick, we'll pray for healing. If there's need, we'll pray for it. In worship, Tiffany said, there's just this reality of like, God, I need you. If you are in a point of desperation or you're just aware of your need for God, we just want to pray blessing that God would meet you. The other thing is, if you know you're prone to worry and trusting God with things has been hard, we want to pray for God's care to meet you in that place. And we'll pray for anything else. So I'm going to pray a closing prayer, and if you want to come receive prayer, we believe this is a normal way God shows up. It's a way to take what's in here, put it out here, and let God come and meet us. And so, God, I thank you for the community you're gathering today. What a gift it is to see you revealed in the scriptures. But know you're revealing yourself right now. You're speaking right now. And so I pray, come, Holy Spirit. We want your kingdom to break in. Show us how to seek you, how to seek your kingdom reality, how to turn to you in all things. Come and set us free from worry. Set us free from fear, God. Would you come and deepen your love in our lives that we would trust you in new ways? Now, just that picture of rock climbing, I pray that people in the room would find their anchor in you, the eternal good God. And where we've put our hope in things that can be taken from us, would you meet us and speak to us? Would you lead us back to you again? So today, God, pour your kingdom out. Come even now. Care for the room. Provide for the real needs that are here. We love you. We look to you. You are the God of gods. You are the Lord of lords. It's not just the heavens, but the highest heavens are yours because you spoke and they became. Speak to us today that we could become more who you made us to be. We bless everybody here in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.